copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
We call this this session, at Greg's encouragement, the most useful management tool I know. But that is actually true. I do believe that. I have used this this technique known as situational leadership myself, both in my professional career and thereafter, to very good effect. So I hope that you will also find it useful. The first time I was first trained in this technique, do come and take a seat. We have the whole front row for you. The very first time that I took it, it was a two-day course, folks, and I am compressing 2 days into, an hour and a quarter, something like that. So it is, of necessity, cut very short, I'm afraid, which means that there's a whole lot left out. But there is quite a bit of literature around on this. I encourage you to take it further and study it. Today, I will only really be able to give you the very basics of what this is about. It is, in my mind, a really useful way to lead people. So, without further ado, let's get going. I'd better watch my own time here. Okay, so the first question really is, what's your preferred leadership style? You probably have a favorite way of leading people. Is it directing, coaching, supporting, or delegating? I don't ask you to have to answer that question right now, but just think about it for a moment or two. The thing about situational leadership is this. We believe that real leadership is not using what you are most comfortable with, what your preferred style is, but actually thinking more about what leadership your team members actually need. Not what you prefer, but what they need. Which I suggest is as close as you can get to servant leadership, which I will refer to at the end of our time, but which is what Jesus clearly did. So before we start thinking about leadership and leadership styles, we actually need to think about the team members and what they most need. There's plenty of seats on the front row, but you're welcome to sit wherever you like. So, we're going to start out thinking about the team members rather than about the leader, because actually, that's where it all starts. Sorry, it's the front row or nothing at this point.
Not biting.
I might trip over your feet, but I won't bite. It's true. So, we'll focus on the team members first. And to do that, I'm going to use various terms that I want you just to become familiar with. And one of them is this. You want to figure out what is that team member's task-specific readiness, which is how ready are they to do a particular task? How equipped, how willing and able are they to do that? And to do that, we try to assess, first of all, their skill. What kinds of things would contribute to a person's skill, do you think?
Competence.
Can't hear.
Competence in some sphere.
Yes, what would contribute to giving them that competence or skill?
Education
is obviously a first start. What else? Experience, what else? Training, yes. Experience, training, skill, those kinds of things.
Delegation, maybe?
You mean, well, that's where it's been delegated to somebody, so they've had some experience at that, yes. Certainly, these kinds of things. So the start point, actually, is aptitude. Do they have an aptitude for it? If I were recruited to work in a role which involved design and art, I would be hopeless because I have no aptitude for that. If it involved words, that would be fine because that's my aptitude. So, first of all, aptitude. Secondly, as we said, education. What's your educational level relative to this? How ready are you for this task? Based on your education. Training, which tends to be something that's more specific. Education can be fairly broad, it can be an arts degree or a science degree, but the training is generally speaking specific to what it is you're being asked to do. And of course, as we said, experience. All of those contribute to a person's skill. And we might think of it in terms of being low or high in each case, resulting in how skilled are they, and the second, which is what we can call will. In other words, how much do they want to do this? How much are they motivated to do it? So will or motivation. Just to recap, what we're thinking about is this task-specific readiness, their readiness to undertake a particular task. And the two contributing elements to that are skill and will, or motivation. So, what kinds of things would contribute to motivation or will? This is harder to figure out. Let's think about it in this way. First of all, there's drive. How much do I really want to achieve this thing? So a sense of ambition or something like that that wants you to make you do it. The second would be incentive. What incentive is there for me to want to do this? For a salesman's job, for instance, a salesperson's job, they generally get a bonus or a commission based on how much they sell. Probably in Christian work, we don't have all that many financial incentives, but we have some other incentives, don't we? And those are the kinds of things that will drive us on to try and achieve those things. Security, which is what you were talking about. How secure does somebody feel? Or, as you put it, how insecure? Fear. So if somebody is full of fear, they're probably their willingness to take risks and try to do things is going to be pretty low. And we'll think about that some more. And then finally, you talked really about that question of somebody having it delegated to them. Do they understand what it is that's required of them? Their role understanding. Brother, there's space down here at the front. Come on down. Welcome, István.
God bless you, brother.
So, two elements, two things that contribute to somebody's readiness to perform a specific task. I keep coming back to this specific task because we're not evaluating a person. We're evaluating their ability to perform a particular task. And so somebody who has been, for instance, a children's teacher in a primary school, and they come to your church and you're wondering whether they would be good, if they want to volunteer for some activity, and you think, well, they would probably be great working with the children.
Maybe.
Probably. They've got experience, they've had some training and so on. We would then be thinking about them in relation to a children's worker. But what if you were thinking, what we really need is a bookshop manager? You'd have to think, it's the same person, But we're having to assess their readiness to do that job based on these criteria, and that will tell us something about how ready they are. I mean, just off the top of your head, you'd probably say they're very, very ready to do the children's worker job, but they're probably not very ready to do the bookshop manager job. We're going to get a little bit more scientific than that and think about how we do that. So I'm going to, let me just turn this flip chart around. So when I'm thinking about these kinds of things, I want to try to identify where somebody stands in relation to these things. I want to emphasize, I want to underline that this is not evaluating somebody as a person. It's not saying they're a good person or a bad person. It's not saying whether I like them or I don't like them. It has nothing to do with that. What it's saying is, how ready are they to do the job that I need done here? Or that to do the job that they have been recruited for? So, taking somebody and thinking about them, thinking about that primary school teacher, we might ask ourselves, now, how skilled are they? Well, we know that they've probably got the education and the training and probably the experience to do that. They're probably pretty good on the skill side. Yeah? We don't know about experience of teaching children from scripture or how long they've been a Christian or those sorts of things. But so we would rate them in one of these areas according on their skill level. R1 means right at the start. They're very low on that. R2 would mean they're a bit better than that, a bit higher. They've got a bit more ability in this area. They're a bit more skill. R3, fairly high. And for R4, they are as good as we could get in the area of skill. Will, on the other hand, was those things that we were talking about. Let me turn this back so that we've got our key. So there we've got drive, incentive, security, and role understanding. So that teacher might not have all that much understanding of what's expected of him or her. Security, probably not governed by fear too much in this role, but fear of failure, perhaps. Incentive, well, there's no particular bonus except a word from the Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servant, which is a pretty good incentive. Drive, we don't know. So we'd have to put a question mark on that, perhaps, for the moment.
Drive is kind of passion.
Passion is a good word, a good synonym for that. Yeah? A real desire to do it. So what we might say is that the person might be high on the skill side, but low on the will side, we probably reckon. And that would help us to understand where they stand in their readiness to take on the job of children's worker in our church. What we're saying is this. The R1 person, the person who is really at the lowest end of readiness to do this job, they would be low skill and low will, probably, right? The R2 person let's go to R4 because that's the easiest. What do you suppose R4? High and high. So what we can probably expect is that these two will be another way around. That's a difficult thing to figure out. So what this is, the R3 person has developed the skills but hasn't yet developed the will to take it on. The R2 person hasn't yet developed the skills, but is keen to go on growing and developing. So they are actually up here. This is just a useful way of thinking about how we assess a person's readiness. The takeaway from this is R1 low on all counts, R4 high on all counts, and R3 and R2 a mixture of those things, of skill and will. And in one case, the skills have been developed. It's easier to develop skill in a sense than will, but it takes time. And in the case of will, people can be eager and keen to do something, but they may not be so keen to take on responsibility. What we've done here is we've tried to identify where the person stands in terms of readiness to do a job. And I'm going to now ask you to have a little go at assessing somebody's readiness. Please get into pairs. One of you is A and one of you is B. It doesn't matter which. And then A is the leader and person B is the team member. And A needs to choose a task, which I'm going to give you. Doesn't matter which one you choose, but choose one of them. And now I want you to assess the readiness of that other person to do that task. Okay? Everybody clear? So, here we go. Now, obviously, in a real-life situation, back in your own organization, you wouldn't just be basing your assessment on a 3 or 4 minute question and answer session. You would have a whole lot more data, wouldn't you? We're not just talking about recruitment interviewing, we're talking about somebody who may be in your organization, but which perhaps you're asking to take on a role, or which you're trying to think whether they should. And so as to give them the right kind of leadership, we're trying to assess how ready are they to take this task on. So you would base it on a lot of different things. You'd have their job history. You'd know what their education was, perhaps from their records. You would have a lot of information about those kinds of things, and you'd be able to make an assessment. But it also helps to talk to the person to find out how they feel about things, because while you might be able to assess skill from the records, will might be a whole lot different. And that will require some conversation, probably, and certainly some interaction over a little while. But from your conversation, just because that was a little exercise, let me ask you, how did you get on? How did you guys get on?
Not good.
Who was A and who was B?
Well, we did both.
You did? Well done. Yeah.
Discipline, right. Yeah, he chose the hardest one.
Yeah, discipline possibly fire a subordinate.
Yes.
So we both feel a struggle with that because we didn't have a good training.
So you didn't have the skill to do it. You'd not really been through that, any kind of a training or whatever. And you didn't really want to have to do this because it's a painful task.
Unless we're really paid much, then.
So that would just raise incentive up a bit.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to be able to do that, I'm afraid, while we're doing this bit of feedback. I'm sorry. I just can't keep repeating the questions. We'll just try to do this. So that's very helpful. Where would you rate where would you rate B, either of you?
I'm R3, Ben is R2.
No, you're both R1. Aren't you? You've got no experience in it. You've not had training in it. You've not been educated to do it. And you definitely don't want to do it.
But we want it to look better in our own eyes. So
exactly.
Otherwise, we'd be poor missionaries. According to the other chart, so he has education.
Does he have education on how to discipline people?
Knowledge, but he's
Seen
some of that, but
no practical. Any training? Have you ever done it?
Not much. No.
Guys, what are they? Are they R3 or R2? What do you think? They're R1. They're R1. Yeah. You are R1 for sure. Who else?
I have a very simple case, very easy one. This man is R4 in leading Bible study.
Yep.
It happened that he's...
So the task was to lead a Bible study,
yes.
And he came in R4.
He's a scripture union guy for...
Oh! Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
skill was clearly high. So then, what about Will?
Is there for no, even without payment?
He'd pay to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So what? Basically, you've got an R4 there for leading a Bible study. Anybody build a garage? Anybody choose building a garage?
Yeah.
How you two did? Let's give you a go. Who was A?
I was the builder.
Yeah. You were the B.
Yeah, his. I think he's very motivated. He has experience in childhood to do something by hand.
Yes, he built and Lego. So.
He likes to do it.
Yeah, go on.
But he likes to do it. He has passion.
Yeah.
And I think I could delegate him like level 2.
Yes, that if sounds.
He
yeah.
He
hasn't experienced. Has he built a garage before? He's never built a garage
but
before.
But he built something by hand.
Well, he built. Yeah. So yeah. How did you? So you rated him R2. So yeah, that's low skill, but he's keen to do it. Yeah. Yeah. He's somewhere. Actually, he's somewhere between R2 and R1, isn't he? Really. So.
I was B.
You were B. So what did you rate him at? What was the task? Build a garage.
So we came to the conclusion if garage would collapse, we can build it again, and the car that is damaged inside, we can buy another one. So there is a goodwill.
Sounds great. Where did you rate him? R1 or 4?
4.
What did you think? Where would you rate yourself?
I don't know, R2, maybe someone, because I was building or participating in building a church, like what is
right, so bricks and all the rest of it. So yeah, so you've got some experience?
I
got
some.
Yeah, you've got some experience, you've got some training in it?
I have some training. It was a training, you know.
Yeah, and you're up for it? You'd like to do it? What does this sound like to you? Sounds a bit like?
R3.
It sounds a bit like R3, doesn't it? He's got the skills, but he doesn't really want to do it. Yeah? This is, it's a fun type exercise. But listen, there is a serious side to it. Because what we're actually trying to do is say, how fit, how ready is this person? It's not evaluating the person. I insist, I want to repeat that. All of you are great people. The question is, how ready are you to do this job? Because how ready you are will tell me as leader how I need to lead you. Because I want to lead you in the way that you most need. So let's talk about that a little bit. And if on that little chart that we used here, on this one, if you are low on more than one of them, then you should rate it low. Right? Because all of those are important. Okay? If you're low on one but high on all the others, then maybe you're better than low, if I could put it that way. You're stronger than that. Education and training. If you don't have those, but you do have aptitude and experience, how does that count? Well, it depends quite a lot on the complexity of the task.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
It depends on the complexity of the task, because somebody can be can have had experience at doing something, but they lack the ability to take it on any further because they haven't had the training or the education for it. Somebody might be good at entering data, but that doesn't make them a good chief accountant. Now I want to go to the leader and what the leader needs to bring to it. So we've talked about the team member. When there's a job that needs to be done, in other words, that's a task that we need performed, then the leader needs to bring what's called task behavior. And the kinds of things that are task behavior, task oriented, if you like, are things like tell, show how to do it, explain how to do it. This is the way I want you to do it. This is the job. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. Explain, reinforce, follow it up. And correct. When it goes wrong, say, no, stop a minute. This is how I want you to do it. Do it this way. Now, I'm doing it in the most simple, thinking about a manual task or something like that, or a computer task. I'm showing how to do it. But just to explain how it's at the most simple level. That's task behavior. Tell, show, explain, reinforce, correct, rebuke, put right, start again, all of these things. That's task behavior. When we want to build a person's morale up, to help them to feel good, then we use what's called relationship behavior. Task behavior to tell them how to do a task. Relationship behavior to help them to feel good. Relationship behavior is the kinds of things that you see there. Encourage, praise, support. In other words, that means help. Involve them. In other words, open something up for them to participate and affirm what they're doing. Task, relationship. And the question is, really, how much of each of those to use in each different situation? The answer is, and what the approach that we bring to it in this in what I'm calling what we call situational leadership is, depending on the situation, we're going to apply a particular leadership style. In other words, we don't go simply with our preferred style all the time. What we do is we bring to that leadership task, we bring the style that is most necessary for that person at that time, given their task-specific readiness. So, let me explain what that means. We're going to apply, as far as we can, the right combination of relationship and task orientation to the way we do it. Task behavior builds up the person's skill at doing something, and in building up their skill, it builds up their confidence. Whereas relationship behavior helps improve motivation and confidence. So both behaviors build up confidence. But task behavior especially builds up confidence because it helps the person to get better at what they're doing. Whereas relationship behavior reassures them that they're on the right track. Does that make sense?
Excellent.
Do we get that? So, summing it up, leadership, situational leadership matches the leadership style that we use to the team member's specific readiness for that task.
You're not talking about team as a team.
I'm not talking, at this point, I'm not talking team, I'm talking individual. Yeah. It can be applied to teams, but that adds a much greater level of complexity. So I'm to keep it simple at this stage, and you will be able to think yourself how to apply it to a team. But for the moment, think one person. And that we're trying to think, and you may like to think of this in relation to a person in your workplace, in your organization, that you are responsible for. How should I be leading them? What do they most need from me? And the answer is, it depends on where they are in relation to the task that they're doing. And we'll talk about that a bit more in a minute. So, matches the leadership style to the team member's task-specific readiness. The aim is always, through this, to bring that team member to their maximum readiness as quickly as possible. So that if they're really a beginner at the moment, we want to get them to expert as quickly as we can, consistent with doing it well. And that leadership style that we apply will change depending on that person's progress through these different stages. It changes to meet the different needs in different situations at different levels of readiness. And of course, with different people, because they're going to be at different levels of readiness. Let me sum it up this way. Leadership behavior combines those task and relationship activities or approaches which in the way that people most need. Let's think about this first of all. If we think about it in this four-box matrix, which I find a useful way of thinking about things, down here is task behavior. Remember task behavior? That's tell, show, explain, correct? Low to high. In other words, how much am I giving it of them? And on the other axis, relationship behavior. Remember, that's encourage, support, coach, help, affirm, and so on. Praise, low to high. Now, over here in this quadrant, high task and low relationship. So what this would be saying, it's not saying no relationship. It doesn't mean being mean or unkind or nasty to somebody. But it's saying this behavior here, high task, low relationship, it's giving them lots of instruction, if you like. It shows them how to do it. It explains again if need be. And it tells them, it sets them going. It winds them up and sets them off along the road. That's this quadrant here. High task, low relationship. It doesn't mean that we're being nasty. It just means that we're not taking time all the time to say, yes, I'm sure you can do this. You'll be great. Because actually that's not much use to them. What they really want to know is, how do I do this? So that's what I'm giving them. They need to know what's expected of me and how do I do it. And actually most of us would value that in most of the things we do, provided we know that. We call this, obviously, directing. And that sums it up. That's what it is. Up here on the next quadrant, high task and high relationship. So we're still doing quite a bit of telling and showing and explaining, but probably not as much as we were before. But now, as we see progress on those technical skills or on the things that are needed to do the job, we're starting to say, that's great. You're starting to get it. Well done. Now let's try it again. Can you see a better way of doing it than you're doing it? That's inviting participation. That's relationship behavior. That's opening it up to them. So this high task and high relationship, which we call S2, style 2, style 1, style 2, is coaching. And coaching involves a certain amount of telling and showing and explaining, but also a certain amount of affirming and encouraging and praising. And then over into the next one. Low task and high relationship. Low task means I don't have to keep now explaining and telling and showing because that person's getting it. But it's high relationship because it's affirming, encouraging, opening up to participation, inviting involvement in how something is done. So it's lower task, but high relationship. And that's S3, which we call supporting. It's essentially saying, this person is now fairly ready for the task. You can see over there. But perhaps they're not quite yet ready to take on the responsibility for it entirely themselves. So they need some support. And that's S3, supporting. And then finally, low task and low relationship. Again, I insist, not no relationship, but low relationship. We're not having to constantly affirm and praise and encourage. And we're certainly not having to tell and show and explain, because we assume that that can be done. And that's S4, and we call that delegating. Yeah?
And usually style 4, it's more for team leaders or for higher positions. Yeah?
Well, possibly. But it's when that work, I mean, a team leader at some point is probably R1 at team leading. So when they're R1, as I'm going to show you now, we need to apply a particular leadership style to that R1. Let me show you. Putting it all together, here's the, down here we've got the readiness levels, right? R1, R2, R3, and R4. Over there. Mm-hmm. R1, low, low. R2, low, high. R3, high, low. And R4, high, high. Over here. And up here we've got the leadership styles, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the way that it works is like this. For the R1 person, or the one who, I say person, I don't mean they're an R1 person, they are R1 for this task. Let's take your example of a team leader. You've had somebody who's been part of the team, and now you want them to be team leader. On day one, I suggest they are probably at R1 level. They haven't had experience at doing it before, and although they know the jobs that people do, they don't know how to lead the team yet. So they are R1. They're probably nervous about it, a bit scared. What if I make a mess of this? So their will level is relatively low. So we give them S1 leadership, which is high task, high relationship. This is how you do it. This is, I need to give you, I need to show you how to do this well.
But S1, not high relationship.
It's low relationship. Yeah.
It's low relationship because most of it, it's high task, but low relationship. Because I'm not saying, you're going to be great at this. You're wonderful. Don't worry. What we're doing is showing them how to do it. Because actually the best way to improve their confidence is by telling them how to do it. And as they start to get it and come on up, we start to reduce the task. It's moving in this direction. And increase the encouragement and praise and so on. Do you see? And as we get into this quadrant, as they develop that competence more, so we find that we don't have to give them so much of that tell and show and explain, but we do have to encourage and open up for their participation in the process. Give them more scope. And that's part of relationship behavior. And as we go on into this quadrant, we're really cutting into the low part of the task behavior for the R3 person. We're still needing to give them quite a bit of encouragement and affirmation to take on the responsibility. Because we think of them a little bit like that baby bird, if you like, that's in the nest. And they've grown their feathers and they have the innate skill to fly, but at the moment they're pretty scared about flying. And that's the team leader who's got to this position. They understand what's needed. They've been told, they've been shown, they've been explained everything. But now they need to be encouraged to take responsibility. And we come into this quadrant and we give it to them. And we've completely dropped away the task behavior. We're no longer telling them how to do it. We're really just affirming, encouraging, supporting. And there we go. It's delegated to them. So that curve really tries to think about the relationship between the team member's readiness to do a job and my style that I need to bring to the task of managing, of leading them. Is that clear so far?
Yeah.
Let me go on to one bit further and then we'll take some questions. Looking at it another way, down here on this axis you've got the R1, 2, 3 and 4. The R1, the very low readiness. So the style that we need to bring to the readiness level 1 is style 1, S1. The R1, the person who is R1 for a task, needs S1 leadership, high task, low relationship. The R2 needs style 2 relationship. Style 2 task and relationship, right? Style 2 is high task, high relationship. Style 3 for the R3. And style 4 for the R4. Let me show you what it feels like if you apply S4 up here to the person who is R1. So that's the brand new team leader. And I say to them, you're going to be great. I have absolutely no doubt about it. You've really got what it takes. Bye-bye. That's what it feels like. When I say, off you go. And equally, for the R4 person, if I give them S1 leadership, the person who's high skill and high will, and I say to them, now this is what I want you to do, this is how I want you to do it, let me explain again. Have you got it? They're saying, listen, I've been doing this for years. Why would I need that kind of instruction? Say, well, I just want to make sure that you know what it is that I expect of you. This is what I want from you. Let me show you again. It's a quick way to make somebody feel very irritated. Basically, the idea is that we want to match the leadership style to the readiness level of the team member. So, let's give you a chance to try it out. Pair up again, A and B, and agree on the task to be role-played again. And then I'm going to give you A, the leadership style that I want you to use with the person that you've got. How did that feel? What were you two doing? What was the task?
R3
and he was giving you?
S3.
S3. So that, how did it feel?
Yeah, I was pretending that I was R3.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty good today. It was okay. Yeah.
What were you two?
It was okay here. Yeah.
What were you doing?
She was, help me. She was
R3.
And I was...
You were giving her...
I was giving her directions.
Yes.
Actually, I really felt like I should enhance her to... that she will like the job. So I wanted to be more relationship-like. but I couldn't, because I was like, so I gave her actually the book that we're using, that's the best one, because we are doing it in our church, so that's actually what you should be using. I'm going to show you the lesson first, so I'm going to do that, and then you watch, and you will...
So there was like no chance for me to actually even add anything to
it. Right. So how... How did it feel?
I felt like, you know, like a schoolgirl.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, mom. Like, wait up.
Exactly. That's what it's like. Very good. What about you two?
I was no experience, a little bit of motivation, and given free rein to go and build a garage as I wanted.
Yeah.
So it was exciting to begin with.
Because you gave him S4 leadership?
Yes.
S4 to an R1?
I told just in the end of a month I will come and I will have
results.
He doesn't need to keep communicating in the month. I give you a team and you can choose your method to lead with this team. And I doesn't care about.
How do you feel about it?
I'm not sure the garage is going to last long.
Yeah. Guys, how did you get on?
Yeah, we got to two situations. First one, Ben delegated me something that I had no idea what to do, and I recalled our pastor doing it once, and it was interesting.
These are real life, I mean, people do this.
Yeah. And then I was practicing, and then, telling him what to do.
Okay. You get the picture. And you were doing, Nana was R4 and you were doing S1?
Yes.
How did it feel, Nana?
I gave him every instruction about the number of the group.
Yeah. How did it feel, brother?
I was R3. Almost.
I was wondering whether he had any trust in me, in spite of all I've said.
Yeah.
So in the end, I said, well, please come and observe if you have to keep me.
It's a very gracious reply, I must admit. Anybody else want to contribute an experience that we haven't talked about? Okay. Isn't it fascinating? When you get it that far wrong, you can see how very demotivating it is. And when you get it right, you can see how comfortable it feels. Yes? It really is something that, even in this little role play, you start to get a sense of what it feels like to be given a leadership which is inappropriate for what you need. So, let me take your question now.
Well, I have now already a comment on the question.
Yeah, okay. Which would you like to do first?
The comment.
Go for it.
Actually, these situations when it wasn't appropriate, it's actually an opportunity for growth, because if, for instance, a person is delegated something that he doesn't know what to do, it's an opportunity for him to grow, to speak up and say, I don't know what to do, please can you help me? And the other opportunity, when you're told what to do and you already know, it's an opportunity to grow in humility and bear with the person. But the question I had before was about tasks. You said that the task is decreasing, but you were saying at the same time a person is learning and the task is decreasing. So you mean the task that you clarify for a person that is needed to clarify, to be clarified for a person that he is taking, because the other things you do not give him as a task, as he's already doing all those things, kind of like that, right?
Just to help answer the question, goes back to what you said at the beginning. Tell, show, explain, reinforce, correct. So you're having to do less of that as time goes on. Is that?
Yes. What it's saying, if you follow the curve, basically what it's saying is, as the person grows in skill, they move from being R1 to into R2 and on up to R3. Now, R2 is still relatively low skill compared to where they will be ultimately. The idea is that as they go on growing it, we can lessen the task-related behavior and start to increase the affirmation and encouragement and the participation by them in how it's done.
Okay.
is that's the point. That as one increases, so the other decreases to some extent. Yes.
What if leader used to act in some one style, for example, style 3, and for him could be like big challenge to act in style 1?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, that is why I'm doing this class, this session, because I want to show you that if you're used to always doing style 3, you're missing a fantastic opportunity. Because actually, if you think about what the people who work with you need, then you can give them the styles that they need, as opposed to the one that you just happen to be comfortable with. Do you see what I mean? So it's a very good question, but that's why I do this. Because lots of us have a preferred style that we'd like to use all the time. The problem is that if your style is, for instance, directing, and for lots of people it is, I'm good at telling people how to do things, and you're dealing with somebody who's R4, like, no, no. I mean, you have to be very gracious to accept it, right? And you felt the same way as an R3 with S1 leadership. It's painful. And equally the other way around. What we were talking about there, the R1 person getting it dumped in your lap and told to go off and do it. That is, depending on the task, it's very scary. So, I think I probably have to bring it to a close there. Release you for dinner. Thank you very much for your patience.